Today's show is brought to you by the Star City Murders.
Yes, the new film of mine, The Star City Murders, is out everywhere now. You can get it on Amazon Prime Video, Apple TV, Vudu, many platforms, satellite cable for rent or purchase. It's great. We also have a DVD and Blu-ray release. So if you're into serial killer, thriller, detective stories, this is the movie for you. Check it out today, baby.
All righty. Welcome back to Podcast Winterfell. We are back. My name is Axel. I'm here with Gina and our guest, Jenny. We're not here to talk about Bridgerton, but hey, you can go over to dvrpodcast.com and check out Jenny and Gina talking about the newest season of Bridgerton, as well as Heath and Andy and I talking about Mayor of Kingstown, a bunch of other stuff. You can also become a patron at patreon.com/DVR. We had a new patron that just came on the scene, Kevin John. Thank you, Kevin. That's awesome. We appreciate it. Hopefully you are a House of the D fan or Mayor of Kingstown or just enjoying the podcast. I want to thank again Matt, who joined us last week. I was just listening to Before the Dragon. You can go to beforethedragonpodcast.wordpress.com and find Matt still podcasting. And he did a great one about the music, because that's just something we don't talk enough about on this show. I know the music is so awesome, and he does such a great job breaking down all the music for this episode, and it's I love it. So
that's honestly, let me say one thing about his music breakdown, Axel. I haven't listened to his one for episode two, but that is one of the things that I have always loved the most about Matt's podcasts. And when he was doing Podcast Winterfell originally, like, his music breakdown of Ramin's scores, I mean, I love listening to him explain it, and I'm like, he's so right on, you know, with the emotions and things that they're evoking and why. And I just find it very interesting. And so I love listening to Matt's pods.
He is the best. Of course, the creator of Podcast Winterfell, Matt is the man. So that's awesome. Yes. And that's Jenny there. Jenny, welcome to the pod.
Sorry, I just cut in and everything.
That's
thanks,
awesome.
Axel.
That's why
glad
you're here.
To be here.
Yes. And of course, Gina. Gina, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, and I'm really excited to talk about this episode. I think two of my favorite scenes to date in this series took place in this one episode, so I can't wait to talk about them.
Nice.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
Okay, that has me interest. Maybe I should we just start out with those scenes, or do you want to get to them, or that's some pretty strong stuff.
They both come later in the episode, okay. So why don't we sit on them? Because it might be too out of whack to talk about them now.
All right, cool. Well, this was definitely a long one. You know, this season is shorter, 8 instead of 10 episodes. But this episode was a good solid, hour 10 of content that we got, maybe a little bit less with the intro and all that, which I did watch the new credit sequence.
What did you think?
I like it a lot. Still a bit of blood in the cloth while it's being...
But it's not like the gusher.
It's not liquid blood, Axel.
I know. I try to tell myself that. I was like, it's just cloth.
It's just red thread. It's red thread.
Okay. That's good. That's what I remember. Red thread. But it's definitely better. You're absolutely right. It speaks to the actual show much more than the first one did.
Yes.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. I really enjoy watching it. And I listened to Matt's podcast from last week, and Kelly did a breakdown of all the different scenes on their week one of their podcasts. And I thought that was really interesting. And I was trying to catch everything as I was watching it this week.
Yeah.
It's really neat. I like it.
It's great stuff. The other one was just, I don't know. Sometimes it's just a little bit, maybe going for that. We get it. It's like the blood and it it's going to be bloody and they like blood and all that kind of stuff. But this one was more about the families and Westeros and that kind of stuff, which is the overall mythology of the show, which is always something that I love. All right. I don't know. Where do you all want to start? You both took extensive notes. It's a little overwhelming.
Sorry.
Where should we
that's
start
what happens
at?
When you podcast with both of us.
I know. It is a lot.
Well, one of the first things besides all the people in chaos that we see is Aegon destroying his father's Valyria model. And that was so sad.
Now we know why we never see that again. And right. It was so amazing. It really is.
Oh, yes. And you know, I'm a Lego guy and I love building miniatures and shit. And that pissed me off. Really? That and then later on in the episode, they're kind of cleaning up still and like taking it out. And I like the way they did that because I think that is important. I mean, no joke. Sometimes it can be hard for even the people who've been watching it from the beginning to recognize who's that other white guy with a beard. Like a lot of people look alike and a lot of rooms look dark and drear, you know? So I thought that was smart that they kind of kept showing that room as it changed. So we understood where we were because that's like the king's chambers. And I think it was also, though, that's very metaphoric, right? To what is happening to his father's rule and what he did and the peace that they had.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And his kind of settling into his new role as king as well. That how that progresses throughout the episode and how the room changes throughout the episode. You know, he's claiming it and he's making decisions.
God, what do you think of this guy, the king, Jenny? King CW.
I actually like him better this season than last season because he like actually seems to have some different facets to his personality. I mean, he's still a douche, bottom line, but
that's true.
But like last season, he was just like petty and bullying and jerking off in the window and and like this season so far in the two episodes, we've seen him like to actually care about his children, I assume. I mean, he definitely cared about his son in the first episode, and then we see him raging about what has happened. And, you know, at the end of the episode, we see him crying, and I'm sure that a lot of that has to do with losing his son as well. And it's just, he's just got some personality that makes him, you know, it makes him a more rounded character so that you are invested in him. So I like him better this season, but of course it's a love to hate kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great point. I think, you know, it's a little weird for me because when I think back at who played the younger kids, it's almost like their body types were opposite from what they are now, right?
Aemond and Aegon.
Agree.
So it's a little weird. Like the casting is great. And I'm always in favor whenever you're casting someone young, blah, blah, cast for a good performance. They don't have to look exactly the same. But it takes me a little bit because even seeing what's his name? Who's the Aemond? So skinny and kind of looking like a dragon, but that's kind of what the king Aegon looked like, and he was tall and skinny, right? So it's kind of it's a little confusing to me sometimes. But
it was just like he stopped growing and filled out. Yes, do you know what I mean? Yeah, Aegon, and then Aemond kept growing and kind of shot up like a weed.
And they are very different, so it could work. Mm-hmm. Like if you talk it out enough on a podcast, which is, I guess, what we're doing, you can end up giving the casting people credit. It doesn't matter, though, because all the actors are great. That's
both the brothers actors are amazing. Mm-hmm.
This whole cast is fucking ridiculous. They're every little look and gesture and there's so much acting with their body and their motion and their face or their head or where they look. It's really just fantastic stuff. And our king, we are seeing something deeper in him. And it's almost like, I almost feel like maybe they overplayed some of the other stuff earlier, you know, with him jerking off in the balcony, you know, like out the window and just, you know, grabbing every woman that he saw. But then that's the complexity of this show. It's like Jamie, right? Like where he's the absolute bastard, but at other times we're laughing with him and loving him, right? So I guess that shows the depth of human depravity, I guess. I don't know. But he was pretty bad. He won't even really, he doesn't want to have anything to do with his sister wife either. Right? That's.
Yeah. I mean, he had no say in that. I think there's something else about him in terms of like his evolution from total douche to king, to douche king is. You know, he did have a moment when he was destroying that. He's like, I am the king. And I was like, whoa, Joffrey flashback.
Yes. Oh my God. All I hear is double P. I am the king.
I know. I want them to now intersperse that. But the Joffrey one's so classic that it does stand alone. But, you know, the difference between him and Joffrey is that at least he has emotions and isn't a total psychopath. Like we see a range of emotions from him beyond just anger, you know, his grieving his son and I kind of thought in some senses he was probably grieving the relationship with his grandfather as well, because it came after he dismissed him as Hand of the King but I do think that Aegon, as well as the other two children we've seen, Aemon and Helaena, have kind of been neglected by their mother. Like she has trouble connecting with all of them. In
that was clear last season, even like, but, even when they were little, like,
yeah, she seemed very impatient with babies, but you kind of think, I think that's kind of a normal reaction to someone that maybe is just tasked with pumping out babies, which she was. But I think, you know, over time, you think you build some kind of relationship with your kids. But
she definitely hasn't with Aegon, for sure. Wow. Like, at all.
No.
Because, you know, even last season when they were getting ready to crown him and he's like, do you love me? Or whatever he said. I'm pretty sure that's what he said. But,
yeah.
And she's like, you idiot, or whatever. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, and even like Aemon tries to like be the good boy and kind of cozy up to her a little bit. And we saw that he's now going to the brothel to seek motherly love.
Yes.
Like sex and motherly love, which, you know, I mean, they are Targaryens.
Hey, so. Incest is the best. Put your mom to the test, right? That's.
Yikes.
But that's his first. Remember, I think it's the same actress. But it last season in the penultimate episode, second last,
you've grown.
Yes, when they were searching for Aegon. They ran into her. Remember, he foolishly thought, "Oh, this is where my brother comes all the time. This is a brothel." But it's like, no, your brother fucks everything. Like it's not. This is just one he went to and never came back to. Remember, she was like, "We never saw him again." Really? I mean, I just banged you, little man. That scene was great too. But the relationship. Do you think that it's the Targaryen in them? I mean, obviously we know the story and everything, but still they're her children, right? And this distance, because she really did love the king. It seemed to me that she had, I mean, she was like stroking.
I don't think
his
it was romantic
face.
Love. It was care. Love, she cared for him.
But that's still love, though, right? She's still able to express
but it's not
a
the
love
same
to
as,
him.
Yes, she loved him in a way, but it's not the same as romantic love or being in love.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But she's able to express emotion and love, which she is not with the children. That's what it seems to me.
Well, I mean. Yeah, I think that's fair. And even with Helaena, when they're in the funeral procession, she kind of reaches over and grabs Helena's knee, and Helaena just kind of shifts away from her. So I think it's kind of, she's like, it's too little, too late. And then we can talk about him more later, but we all picked up on the fact that there's another son that's being fostered at Hightower in Old Town. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait a second. Yeah. What the hell was that?
They didn't say he was being fostered there, did he? I thought said he was there, and I assumed that meant he was being trained as a maester.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't. He's not being trained as a maester.
Because I don't remember from the book. I have read the book. I just don't remember.
I think he's being fostered by whoever, kind of how Ned and Robert were fostered at, the Vale.
The Eerie.
Oh, the Eerie. Sorry.
John Arryn.
The Vale.
Right, but this would have been his uncle at the Hightower if he was at the Hightower, because that's his mother's uncle.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he could still still foster him to get another perspective on the realm, right? And make other connections. I think that's kind of why they did that.
Rewind just for a second?
Uh-huh.
Because I screamed out when you mentioned this, because I was like, thank you for mentioning this. Because like I said, I listened and read these books, but I've done a good job of forgetting things. That Alicent has another kid is what you're talking about.
Yes.
And that is the son, also the son of the king as well, not someone different.
His name is Darren.
Darren, right.
And
what?
I love you, New Jersey.
I said Darren. Thanks, Jenny.
Our writer's dragon's cheat sheet because he also has a dragon named Tesserion.
Tesserion. See, I did that one. I did that one fancy like. what line is he in? Like, how old is he?
He is younger than Aemond. He's the youngest.
Okay. Because we were talking last episode about how there's two other kids that Rhaenyra has with Daemon.
Daemon.
Mm-hmm. That are like babies that I think.
And they're like toddlers. Yeah.
Okay. The names, the kids, everything.
They're Aegon and Viserys. Right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know the second one was Viserys because she told Viserys that when she introduced him. And then she had the Visenya that died.
Yeah,
that
and then half of his face smiled, but the other half you couldn't see because it was falling off behind a mask. All right. So what's up with this? I liked how they just dropped that in. There was one thing about this episode I found interesting is I think this show is really kind of changing. And last season, there was just so many scenes of like one room, 20 people, and they just have a bunch of conversations. They're still doing that. And there was a little bit of a return to the parlor stuff, but they are widening this world a lot. And there's a couple scenes we see of people. We get to see Father again. And what we get to check in with him and his brother, right? Mm-hmm. We get to check it. There's another quick scene that, what was I thinking of?
With Hugh?
Yes. Thank you. Very good. Yes. With Hugh, we check in with him. We met him last episode.
His wife was in the crowd when Alicent and Helena were going by. I saw her.
Oh, okay, cool. That's interesting. Great.
Noticed it on the second watch.
Yeah. And we were introduced to him last episode when he talked about the iron workers, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like we need to get paid before we do the work. So I like the way they're kind of building up the world like that. And getting us more interested in, you know, other people, not just the main family. I like that.
I liked how with the Alan and Adam scene, after Adam was telling Alan that basically they were owed in some way, the next scene was Corlys and Rhaenys in bed. Because you know that those boys are likely Corlys's bastard children.
Oh, I didn't even pick up on that.
No. Well, I was wondering because we see one of them on the beach.
Adam.
And he looks up and sees
clamming.
Yeah.
And looks up and a dragon's coming at him. And I'm like, they usually only akin to people
sea
with
smoke.
With, you know, Valyrian blood. Yeah. And I was thinking it was Sea Smoke, Laenor's old
Daemon's
dragon.
Daemon's daughter, right? She was supposed to patrol there, wasn't she?
Well, no. Sea Smoke is Laenor's dragon.
Laenor's dragon.
And Laenor's
quote-unquote dead husband.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh.
I mean, it's not like he can escape and take his dragon with him and people won't, you know what I mean? It's like he had to part with that dragon. You can't have a dragon hanging around you if you're not a Targaryen, if you're trying to be not a Valyrian.
But was that a
signal? I did initially think it was Baela too.
Okay.
Axel.
All right. That's what I thought. I thought it was.
That's what I thought at first, but it's Sea Smoke all by himself.
Well, that's interesting,
or
though.
Or herself. I don't know what sex that was.
Because I always want to see Laenor again. I like that dude. I thought he was an interesting character.
Yeah.
He just wanted to be in war. That's like he lived for it. That was his thing, right? Just wanted to.
He was definitely more interested in that and enjoying life than being a husband and father. Yep.
Anything having to do with swords. He just wanted to be sword fighting. All right. Where else are we going? What else happened in this episode that we want to talk about?
Well, toward the beginning, we the small council thing went. I mean, I know we were talking about Aegon raging, but like the whole Laris tells them that they found the gold cloak and all of that stuff. And then that's when the funeral procession gets brought up. And then after, yes, I felt terrible for Helaena. I know we hit on that like slightly already, but that was a weird. The procession, I thought, was weird. I guess not weird. It was
awful.
I can't think.
Horrifying.
Yes,
disgusting.
Those are words that are
stomach churning.
They were saying to about Rhaenyra for one, because But when they hit that rock, and I felt terrible. Poor Helaena, and she was just terrified, and then. When they were like manhandling it, trying to get it to move, I'm like, why didn't they just pick up the damn rock? But anyway, that would have been
they
too
need
easy.
A there,
but
well,
anyway,
wait a second. Can I just interject?
Yes.
Did you not think that they totally played it that the head was going to fall off the kid? Like, that's what they were doing.
He was going to fall off, not his
head.
The whole child was going to come.
I thought
tumbling off of there. Oh my goodness.
They kept on showing it and the head was moving separately from the body. And when they kept on pushing, I was like, oh, they are totally playing this for the head. This is too. And then they cut away. And I was like, and then they're just talking about it, right? They're about what happened. And I thought, oh, they made the right choice there. But then again, because if it was like, you know, I mean, I think today you see a lot of shows that are kind of informed by Game of Thrones. I think some of us, it was so brutal, right? That we kind of forget, like with shows like The Boys on now, right? A bunch of superhero stuff where there's just people's heads exploding or walking dead, like all that shit. That I like the fact that they pulled back from that and didn't do that. And I felt that was a little nod to a little respect to the audience there. Like, no, okay, we're not going to do it. We're not going to have the kid's head fall off.
It's enough that they removed his head.
Yeah.
That was more than enough.
And I was surprised they actually got the head back. It was pretty good shape, you know. They did good makeup on it.
Yeah. Well, he was, I guess, just trying to, you know, take it for proof of death, as if the word would not get back that the kid was dead. But I actually thought between this funeral procession and Alicent in the bath, there were a lot of Handmaid's Tale vibes. Like, that funeral procession was pure propaganda, which was very much like Fred's funeral in the Handmaid's Tale, and it was kind of very dramatic with them being veiled and everything. And There's even this shot of Helena when she's looking up and it's like the slow-mo leaves coming down. That was kind of like a very Handmaid's Tale vibe. You know, the big face and the big eyes and the slow-mo. And then Allison going under the water in the bath. We've seen June do that too. But it just, I even looked to see if this director has ever had any involvement with that show, and she hasn't. But I was just kind of, I don't know, was feeling a lot of vibe from that. It didn't, it seemed more of a departure from normal Game of Thrones world in a way.
Well, you know, she's directing, she directed 4 episodes. In season 1, she directed 3 episodes, 4, 5, and 9. Interesting.
Well, on the after the episode thing, and when they were interviewing her, it looks like she has 2 episodes this season.
Nice.
This one and another one.
No, I agree. When I saw that in the notes, I didn't think of it while I was watching it, but when I saw it in the notes, I kind of agree with you. It's a similar vibes that are happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just, yeah, you know, maybe that vibes with kind of like the whole themes of motherhood in this show, which are so strong throughout Handmaid's Tale as well, for obvious reasons. But, you know, we talked a lot about how Allison doesn't seem to have a good connection with her kids. And on the flip side, it actually seems like Rhaenyra does. So, you know, she's got great relationships with her boys, older boys, and she's playing with the 2 little ones.
Looks like she has good relationships with her stepdaughter. Cousins.
That's true.
Yeah.
Her stepdaughter, cousin,
brother, sisters. Yeah, Helena. just sad. And you know, it's hard. We know that she has like the sight, and I've been trying to listen if she's saying anything lately. I mean, obviously, we saw last episode about the rats.
Yeah.
I didn't hear anything this episode, but the way she's acting and the scene when Aegon just walks right past, like can't really, and she's so upset, she can't even hug her or anything or really look at her. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're setting something up, her alienation, her loneliness, you know? Mm-hmm.
So that scene to me, you're talking about on the stairs, right?
Yeah.
When she's coming back or had been
she's
home
like
or
with
whatever from the procession, and he's coming down the stairs and they stop on that landing, and then it's not very long. And I didn't think anything really truly meaningful passed between them, but Helena nods her head when he turns and leaves, and then she starts twisting her fingers.
Yeah.
One of the things that I found odd, because I didn't read it this way. In the behind the scenes, the guy that plays Aegon, Tom, I don't remember his last name, but he says that in that scene, they shared a moment of, you know, shared grief and da 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 da, and they didn't say much and it didn't last. And I was like, they didn't say anything.
Yeah, that's weird.
If that's what was intended, they should have had a facial shot of him and one of her, and then pan back again, because hard to
make it more intimate. Yep.
Yeah. It was very hard to pick up on in that brief encounter.
That's distressing, because this is a show where anytime I don't always watch the behind the scenes stuff, but normally I agree with what they're saying. Okay. Yes. That was, and I've talked about it before, when there's a difference like that, that's interesting, maybe, but from one perspective, that could be it. But what we're seeing more than anything is the continuation of that whole family having an inability to connect with each other in any way, really, you know?
Yeah. It was too brief for me for it to have any kind of like true emotional connection going on there.
I agree.
It had lasted a little bit longer, or words had passed, or some kind of shots like Gina referred to, something more, I didn't get the feeling in it.
And Helena is so, I mean, she's just going from trauma, if it, you know, if when the thing's stuck and every, all the people are trying to get her, you know, and like the picking the kid and all, it's just being married to her fucking brother. You know what I'm saying?
She's the most innocent in this whole story. Yeah. It's very hard to watch sometimes.
And not that this is terrible, but I'm gonna say it. Amond, her other brother, wanted to have her for his wife.
Last season.
He was going to do her this and that. And like, he seemed to actually care for her, where Aegon just like disdain and looked at her with disdain. Yeah. Now he seems to feel a little bit differently, or at least I'm seeing it a little differently. But I think that if it had been allowed, or, you know, if it had been different, I think her and Amond, I think he would have treated her better than Aegon.
Yeah. And I actually felt like he didn't say that necessarily out of attraction, but out of duty. Because I think he's always been the one that has tried to please mommy. Mm-hmm. You know, well, you know, I think he's, you know, really just trying to, this is another, you know, bad parenting tips from Allison. Like, he's just trying to get her attention and approval and everything else. And it's like, I'd do it, you know, hey, if that's what's required of me. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I think he's also always known that he's the smarter one and would probably make a better king, you know, than his brother, his dunderhead.
Yeah, I agree. Well, speaking of Dunderhead, and I want to try to integrate some of our Facebook posts from our Daily DVR TV Film Podcast Facebook group. Come join. But Richard says, I love the early scene with Damon Rhaenyra, the acting, the dialogue, the way it's filmed is just amazing. The show continues to impress me with each episode. Dunderhead Damon, where they're all sitting there, and they're like, I would never do this. And no one involved in my, wait a second, Damon.
Oh, dude, it took her a minute to figure out he was not saying a word.
That, that was,
he did like side eye once when she said something, and I was just like, that was an amazing scene. Richard is not wrong.
Yeah, it was very, that was really, really good, because the turn when she realizes it was so subtle, and it was worth the buildup. Because normally that could be a little Three's Company-ish. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, 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 it was him. You know, he's sitting at the table. You know, like, you should have known it. But the way she kind of realized it, and then what happened after, where she said, what did she say to him? You're pathetic.
It ended with that. But it also, she really laid into him with, the reason you aren't, you know, you aren't king is because my father never trusted you. And frankly, I've never trusted you. Yeah. Like, as much as I've tried, I just haven't.
Shocker.
Even when she, like, had a huge crush on him as a girl. I mean, and, he, you know, he doesn't love her. I mean, I think he doesn't really love her. He's, and didn't we talk about this last week, how he's very emotionally cut off? All these Targaryens, they lack emotional intelligence, the majority of them. And he's one that does too. It's like he can't fully give himself to anything, not even to loyalty to his brother, by not slagging off his dead nephew in a brothel. You know, it's like, that's what ended it for him. He can't even be loyal enough to show respect. Like, he thinks it's a sign of weakness, and that's something that he struggles with, and clearly Aegon struggles with it as well. They don't want to be perceived as weak.
And so does Otto, I think, too. We see that, right? Like, just can't keep your fucking mouth shut.
Always have to
poke and get mad and tell the person off, you know? Fire back.
You mean Otto does that? Or
no,
that's what you laid into Aegon?
Yes. That's what I'm making reference to.
Yeah, that are very good. Some good parallels there, where both those, you know, Targaryen men got a tongue lashing,
which is his, and that's his granddaddy. So yeah. That's, you know what I mean? In a sense, he is maybe a lot like him. I hadn't thought of that before.
I have to say that, well, I think we've definitely seen parallels between Damon and Amond. I mean, they have the same father and son.
They do. That's another confusing thing. But
the whole like being perceived as weak, another family trait. Like it's very clear these people are related. But that scene between Aegon and Otto, that is one of my favorite scenes to date in this show. I just thought the dialogue was so good. And it was just so biting, I guess. It's like they were just really having it out, but it was so clearly done. And I even highlighted in my notes. I mean, just the difference between them, you know, I guess they're mostly Aegon's line, but he's like, fuck dignity. I want revenge. I was like, this is the best line of the episode. But then, Otto scolds him for something else. And he goes, I have dared and I find it stimulating. Yeah. And then Otto calls him an insolent pup. So we have Otto under his breath calling him an insolent pup. We have Rhaenyra under her breath calling Damon pathetic. So
she doesn't say it under her breath.
Well, yeah, pathetic. Well, she says it a little more quietly, but I just that scene with Otto losing his shit over Aegon killing the rat catchers, the whole thing. Sir Criston's just like, you know, kissing Aegon's butt, and they just talk about how he fucked up all the propaganda they did. Then he's like, oh, well, Sir Criston came up with this amazing plan to kill Rhaenyra using the Eric and Eric brother, twin brotherness. And I just thought this scene was great. Like, so much just kind of came out, like emotional family word vomit, but it was the best possible word vomit. It is just so biting. I don't know, some great exchanges.
Yeah,
and that's one of my favorite.
And they work. Go ahead, Jenny.
Go ahead. Cole is so intemperate, as you know, Allison alludes to, and he's young, and Aegon is a Targaryen in want of fire and blood, and he's even younger, and neither one of them like values the true I'm not sure what the word I'm looking for is of Otto's like politicking, like the things that he's doing behind the scenes to get things to where it needs to be so that the people will support Aegon. Yeah. And Aegon is just young and impatient, and Criston is young and impatient, and they just want to take their vengeance out instead of like going about it in the way that's actually going to achieve what they want in the long run with the least loss of lives. And they don't see the value in it. They're too young and cocksure.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Well, Otto understands how to play the Game of Thrones, and he's been playing it a very long time. And the most brilliant thing is just like, as Otto is realizing he completely screwed up by putting Aegon on the throne, he's like, Aegon's like, my father made me king. And he's like, oh boy, you think that's what you think?
Yeah.
That's what you think. It's like, no, son. And then Otto kind of gets de-handed.
Well, that's when he's like, he starts to leave. And that's when he's like, give me your badge.
Right?
I'm surprised he didn't call him like Lord Grandfather.
Yeah.
Do you think, are Damon and Otto going to team up and like do like a buddy movie or something like that now that they both got fired from their jobs?
I don't see that happening. No.
Might be fun though. Those actors would have a good time together. You could see that.
I don't think so. I think Otto's gonna go back to, and this is where Daeron comes in. Otto's gonna go back to Hightower and see if he can salvage this one last remaining grandchild of his. Like, and maybe that was the intention. We got to get at least one away from the castle to see if he's got a chance of, you know, kind of being normal frickin' person.
Mm. But Allison we'll wants him to just go to Highgarden instead.
No, Hightower.
No, she said, he said he was going to Old Town. To and then
which,
he'd
it's
be,
where,
which
it's
is Hightower.
Hightower.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
But she said Highgarden, the Tyrells need brought in hand.
Oh, interesting.
And then he would be closer when she can call him back when she gets Aegon calmed down. That's what she said.
Oh, okay. Oh. Interesting.
I mean, I was just mainly talking about how he's going to go get the kid.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Well, that was before she said she wanted him to go to Highgarden instead of going back to Old Town. But I hope he does get Daeron, like you said.
Oh, we're gonna get him, yeah, that kid at some point. Yeah.
Has he been cast?
I scoured IMDb. I have not heard
it's
anything.
It's Chekhov's Daeron. He's showing up.
Even the mention of his name set the interwebs on fire. Oh. It was like, who's going to play him?
Who's Daeron? Who's Daeron?
It's like, oh, everyone's like, oh, I've been hoping they bring this guy up. And he does definitely play a role in the Dance of Dragons with his dragon. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if we see him this season. I mean, if he's been cast and shows up this season, it's like the best kept secret. So it's exciting.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Mr. Double C, Kristen Cole, who has overtaken the interwebs.
I don't even love to hate him. I just hate him.
This is exactly what I'm talking about. People hate this motherfucker.
He's going to be a horrible hand because he's driven by one thing and one thing only, which is his hatred for Rhaenyra because she dumped him, wouldn't run away with him, and he's never gotten over it.
No.
He beat a man to death at her wedding. It's just like he should have been hung at that point. Do you know what I mean? It's just like they should have taken him out. And I don't know.
Well, remember, he was going to kill himself. And that's when Allison showed up.
Dumb bitch.
You know? Oh, shit. Well,
now she's really glad that she didn't let him kill herself because now she gets serviced on the regular.
That's true.
And has probably never had such good sex from King Viserys.
Oh, no.
Definitely not.
Oh, no.
She's in her prime right now. Yeah, she's having fun.
She's learning about her body and herself.
In spite of how dirty she makes her feel, she's having a good time.
When she goes off and she's talking about that shit, this is like, in a way, I guess, I was thinking kind of parallel to Game of Thrones with Cersei and all that and the religious shit, but she's not saying like come in and take over the castle. She's taking it into herself, you know. She really feels it, like the back and forth. It's just, I mean, it's interesting to me. I wonder, will there be more to it, or is it just that's her internal debate constantly, and that's this world, right? Mm-hmm. Like she's not doing
more
the right
to her
thing.
Relationship relationship with him.
Yeah, like, well, with the seven, is that going to lead to something different? Like, is that going to, is, I mean, in the way we saw with Cersei, where she aligned herself with you know, the, what's his name, the you know who I'm talking about, the sparrow,
the high sparrow. Yeah.
I don't know.
I think Alicent really is religious, and we saw that from even when they were girls, and she took Rhaenyra into the Sept to pray for their mothers.
Yeah, she believes
after they'd passed. She's a true believer.
She's a true believer.
And she's worried about what the seven think of her. However, the person she should be worried about is Sir Creeps a lot. I missed my chance to be hand strong, because if that guy finds out she's boinking Sir Kristen, with a double whammy combined with the fact that he missed out on becoming the hand.
That's what, like, I was going to say. Yes, Laris is pissed off because, well, he does know, because that's the thing is, remember last episode, he said you were away from, he knows something's, he's suspicious.
You're indisposed.
Yes, you're indisposed. And then she got rid of all her handmaidens, and then we see this one. Now she just has someone hand her the water and leave. That's like the standard. She did the right thing, which is that he had surrounded her with his people and she got rid of them all. I thought that was a smart move on her part.
Yeah.
And is it just, does it extend? How far does it extend? Is it just trying in her quarters, trying to hide what's going on with Cece over here? Or is it in general? I don't know how much power she has to really replace everyone or whatever and how deep he goes, but he's gonna find out. And again, like you said, now Cole is the hand of the king. Like, what? That was the stupidest shit ever. When he said that, I was like, no, people across America were just shaking their heads. Like, no, what? Come on. I don't know.
With Laris, I think that because he told her that he had replaced them all with people of his own choosing, and yes, she knows he's like a behind-the-scenes schemer. She just doesn't want him spying on her any more than he already does. So I think that that's why she's just like, I mean, obviously she doesn't want them to find out, or him to find out, or her maids about Kristen Cole, but I think she just doesn't want to have him like any more spying than she can possibly minimize it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I don't think that she really is having like a true relationship with, as you call him, CC either. I think it's just being serviced.
Yeah.
Oh, we forgot to mention when Aegon killed the dude.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't show too much of it, which I was also happy about.
Yes, me too.
They've been that pulling back on some of that stuff, and I like that.
Nothing. He was like turned over
too quick.
Same on Tyrion.
Right? Like if that was me, I would have
not about getting tortured.
Yeah,
you know,
I would have tortured him if he killed my son. Did like that? Like, come on, cut the head off. I'd have been like, we're cutting something else off that has a head, folks.
Oh boy.
So weird thing with Cole. Why did stand? Why did he stand there at the entrance of what's her name? Helena's bed chambers while they were disassembling that crib thing and watching them, and then standing in the way when they're trying to get the stuff out of the room? That was bizarre.
I think he was reflecting on his role in basically, while he was boinking Alicent, all this was going down under his watch. Because then immediately,
yes,
and I think it's like blaming himself. But then,
very good.
Then he directly goes down to Sir Eric with an A.
Well, no, the next scene with him is the one with the tub and Alicent when he's standing outside her door, and then he goes downstairs to
She's like, "You're not going to tell anyone,
right?"
Yeah, but
well, that's all connected.
It's all connected. Oh, yeah. But then he goes down and blames basically Sir Eric for not being on guard in front of Eric with an A.
That's why I was Eric A.
Yeah, Eric A versus Eric E.
Yeah, this is where it all begins. The plan. Yeah.
And then I liked Sir Criston even less. Like, I'm just like, God, you just can, like, he's just so awful. I loved him so much in the beginning, and now he's just such a huge disappointment.
I wrote all kinds of fun things about him in my paragraph about this scene. Cole the douche gripes at him about his dirty cloak. Then when Eric A. goes to do as he's bid, Cole is still itching to be a dick. Yeah. Where were you when Jaehaerys was murdered? I cannot with this guy. And then at the end of it, I said, I hate Kristen Cole.
He does just have a douche face. That's kind of, he just has that face where
you just want to punch it.
Yeah. He has a punchable face.
I actually called Sir Criston. I'm like, Sir Criston says Sir Eric with an A betrayed House Green. And I'm like, F twat.
You all are nuts. Well, let's see. Should we talk about what happens with this plan?
Well, before we do we need to spend 2 minutes on Rhaenyra and bad accent?
I mean, I guess what she's
honestly,
back. It's got better.
I don't
got
mind
much
her this season. I think they must have done some coaching.
Yeah, they calmed it
like
down.
Like dialect coaching.
They just said, don't try and talk in an accent.
Yes, do not create your own accent.
Well, it's like one consistent accent the whole time she's speaking now instead of going into 15 different ones that don't make any sense together.
I mean, kind of the long and short of it is they both kind of been like looked down upon because they're women, even though they try and get, you know, respect from people by, you know, building themselves up, doing the right thing. They both kind of been, you know, dicked around by Damon, both literally and figuratively. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's like, okay, I'm going to release you, but we're, you know, we're sticking you on a boat to Pentos. We're not going to let you go back anywhere else. We're going to get you there. You know, so it's kind of like, okay, but the biggest part of the whole bond they made in, you know, these two little scenes they had, Masaria picks up on the fact as she's being taken down to the boat and passes another guy that looks very much like Sir Eric with an E, because it's Sir Eric with an A, is like, hold on a minute. And she does, you know, you can tell she basically does Rhaenyra a solid because she alerts someone to be like, hey, something's going down.
Yes.
So that's, I think, so, like, will we ever see her again? I don't know. Has she fulfilled her role in Destiny? I think so. So let's just hope it's over. Although, because she did this, maybe now Rhaenyra will be like, you are my spider.
Yes, of course.
You are my Lord Varys. And actually, her background, compared to Lord Varys' background, very similar. Yeah. Poor, sold their bodies to survive, listened, you know, I guess that's the other kind of interesting thing about her. So, you know, we might see her. She might be Rhaenyra's spider the same way Laerys seems to be for the Greens. He's a lot of different things for the Greens, but you know, he's the master of whisperers, it seems, even though that's not a real thing yet.
Yeah. That's a very good summation. I think we will see her again, because they're putting time into this character. And you know what? Now that the accent is normalized, I don't have an issue. You need a character like this.
It's much better now,
so
that she's not
that's okay.
talking. Yeah.
Need, that's exactly what I said to my wife. I said, she's becoming like the master of whispers, right? And that's her going to be her role. That's cool. Just the accent was just, hey, you know what? And let me say this. You know, Solo is an actor. I started my career as an actor when I was like 8. And you know what? She went for something. Either she did or the director, the first time she was on set, they went for something. It didn't work. They corrected it.
Yeah.
I'm cool with it. No hate. Jenny, do you have any hate?
No, I don't have any hate for her. Like I said, I think she did some accent work of some sort, and she's doing much better this season.
Yeah.
I don't immediately get annoyed when I see her on screen.
Nope, me
unlike
neither.
Unlike Kristen Cole.
Right.
But that's a good annoying, though. We have to give the guy credit. You know what I mean? Like, he's playing this. That whole turn was really good. And Gina, you had something else in your notes, which I thought was, besides the picture of Ben Stiller.
Ben Stiller as Aemond. Ben Stiller as Zoolander with blonde hair and a patch over his eye.
That's, I love the way it's drawn too, just with the hair, like it's like a kid's drawing. Oh God, that's too funny. No, it was... You make some good points by grouping together mentions of how the people in King's Landing are restless, how Aemon's girlfriend is like, you know, the people, it's the people who suffer, right? We see the people go after Helaena. So they're building something up there. which is important to remember because we've seen this obviously before in Game of Thrones, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same thing like with Otto when he's like, we got to do the plan. And everyone's like, fuck the plan, kill everybody. It's like, no, we've seen that before. What happens when you do that? You shouldn't rule like that. So I just wanted to throw that out there because they are doing a better job, I feel, of this season of including that world building and taking us and showing us other people. So that's good. And I'm still, I was still like, I did not think that, that sea snake, those were his kids, Alan. And I hadn't thought of that.
I don't, you know, it's either they're bi blows, or
what does that mean? Know, bi blows.
Bastards.
Oh, okay. Oh, interesting. Okay.
It's like an old-fashioned term.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think that's a Bridgerton term they used in one of the Bridgerton books or something.
Yeah.
But I do think that there's something that Dragon is still going to connect, whether they are or not, that Dragon's going to connect to Adam.
Interesting.
It's never explicitly stated to my knowledge, but it's alluded to that some people think that they are bastards of Laenor, but then like it's more commonly thought that they're the bastards of Corlys. So and that since they keep on talking about Corlys and how Alan was kind of uncomfortable with him in the first episode when he was thanking him for saving his life, et cetera. So, yeah.
Interesting. I like it. I like it. Mainly because I love that actor who played father on, what was that? Raised by Wolves. Loved Raised by Wolves. All right. Let's talk about the twins, A&E. Not the cable channel, but the two crazy bearded guys.
Eric and Eric.
Of course.
I just say Eric A, Eric E.
Kristen Cole sends him on a suicide mission. It's that, I mean, as he says, that's what it is, right? There's no way he's going to get out of there. This scene was amazing. And Matt brought up, I think it was Matt that was listening to that, there's no music during that scene. And I love that. And Matt said that too. Like, it's good to know when to pull back on music, which is the thing. Actually, I was talking about that on Facebook today about like so many shows today. It's like somebody's sad and then they cut to a song and they're like, I'm sad. And it's like, you don't need, not everything needs to be like so it's choreographed.
The songs they use in Love is Blind.
Oh no, but it's reality TV. It's dark matter.
But I mean, especially they like especially do that. You are totally right. I do at other
places. No, Jenny, you're totally right. They're like leaving an apartment, and the song will be like, "We walked out the door of the apartment," and you'll be like, "Okay, I get it. Like, turn the music down." Anyway,
they have no music budget. It's just going to be AI generated songs.
It is. Yeah, I know. Oh God. But this I loved. It was just like, it was so chaotic, and the way they shot this and the screaming, and you knew the sad thing. Obviously it ends with one of them, we think is Eric, kills himself, right? Because he killed his brother, but also because, you know, as soon as they start fighting, they both have to die. Because they're never going to trust that the other one isn't the other one. So it was like it was so fucking tragic. And it's like this whole show, it was a metaphor for the whole fucking show. It's like, once you enter into it, everybody has to die. There's just no way out of it. And it was just, I don't know. I don't know what to say. It was just amazing. They knocked this out of the fucking park.
It was, and even kind of the lead up with Eric with an A sneaking into the castle, trying to avoid his brother, Eric with an E. There's one moment where Eric with an E stops as he's kind of just missed his brother. And I'm like, it's twin sense. Like, you know, that feeling they say, you know, the connection that twins have. And I was just like, it was very well done. Like, so it's the polar opposite from the blood and cheese kerfuffle last week, how it was not suspenseful at all, and it was just like going through the motions. This was actually very well done. Ton of suspense.
So suspenseful.
Yeah. The end. I mean, even when Eric with an A walks in the room and is like, he apologizes to Rhaenyra. He's like, I'm so sorry it had to be this way or something. And she just looks so shocked. She's like, what's happening? Oh, he's like, believe me, I had no choice. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was just so good.
They did a great job of laying the ground. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, this is one of my other favorite scenes in this series so far. It was just, typical Civil War trope, brother against brother, but it's so much better than swords than with muskets, I'm sure. Yeah, man.
And they laid the groundwork with Daemon constantly questioning him that, right? Like, we don't trust you. Who is it? Like, he did that like two or three different times, right? Last season and this season. And that kind of laid that groundwork for the tragedy of, you're fucked. Like, did he realize, like, if I sneak in there, my brother has to die too. They're never gonna, like, it's death for us both.
See, I didn't even think about it that way. The way I thought about it, because of how they talk about one another, we're two soul or one soul in two bodies, and the love that they had for one another, that Eric E. could not stand the thought of living knowing he had killed his brother, and he did not want to live without the other half of his soul, and he fell on his sword.
I think
that
it's Cersei and Jaime all over again in this really weird messed up way. Yeah. You know, we're born together, we'll die together. I want to, you know.
No, I think you're right, Jenny. I think that the way I'm interpreting it is part of it, though. I think he knew, like, because he killed his brother, but he also knew they could never trust me, that I'm the guy. They can't leave me in the room with the queen now, right? Like, never. So, because they don't know if I'm the other brother. And that's what I love. Oh, go ahead.
But I feel like it was a dead giveaway right before he killed himself that he was actually Eric with an E. And she's like, no, you know, because he's like, I'm sorry.
Just forgive me.
No, I agree. I agree with that. But I think that I still think that the other thing was a part of it, that they're, because or maybe I'm just transposing my own appreciation of the buildup in which they did not go out of their way to try to signal concretely, this is this brother, this is the other brother.
Right.
They allowed the confusion to build where they were cutting back. They're like, wait, that is, he's going the same place the other guy just went. Like you said, with the twin.
There's so one thing.
Someone came in and he's like, who's who? Which one's which?
I was like, no. Shoot them both.
Yes, when Sir Laurent comes in. Yeah. There is one thing, and I think it was Ashaya on History of Westeros during episode one when they were talking about it. She mentioned the way that you could tell Eric A and Eric E apart. But you couldn't in this scene, FYI, because I tried, is their mustache. Eric A has like the villain's mustache. It's like waxed to turn up a little bit at the corners. And Eric E, his mustache is combed straight down.
Interesting. Okay.
But that's crazy, right?
That's so subtle. Like you would just think, oh, he's changed his mustache. Yeah. You know, it's like you wouldn't be like, oh, that's the way your just had something brother wears his mustache.
You know, he got a little mead stuck in it or something like that.
Right. And it made it so that then I was watching for that. But then in this scene, because there's so much chaos and everything, it's like there's no way to be able to determine which one's which at all.
It was
I lost track after they were on the ground in the leg thing with the hand. That was gross.
Yep. It was it was just really beautifully done. It was built up. And that's an example of why we should trust in the people making this show, because they've built up these brothers through the first season, right? And through the beginning of even the first episode, and to have this end for them is very meaningful, and it does reflect the themes of the show and Civil War, like we're talking about. I think they just did such a perfect job of that from the very beginning to come to this end. They should really be proud of themselves. And those guys who played these brothers should be like, wow, we played some fucking, this is really cool. You know, like we really like through this through line is solid all the way through our characters on this amazing show. I was just kind of left in like awe when that when he fell on the sword. I was just like, damn. I was almost like I couldn't even be sad about it because I got like the chills. Like I was so appreciative of that they fucking pulled it off and made that so clean all the way through. No, and of course, Rhaenyra, she's such a, or I should say they are such a great actor. Mm-hmm. They sell it so well that it's like the face is like, whoa, right? The horror, like you were talking about, Jenny. But I guess we have to end. It kind of should end on that.
Really, it should have. We had two more scenes after that. Allison, Otto, and then Allison going to, well, I guess three scenes because Allison, Otto, and that's when they talk about Old Town
and Daron, which we talked about.
Then Allison goes to Aegon's chambers and he's crying and she has no sense of being a mother, which we already talked about. But
like, could have you at least said, like, good night? Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's got to sneak out the door.
I'm sorry, son. I'm sorry for your loss.
God,
terrible. But then in her chambers, the last thing I had in here was, Cole the asshole is presumptuous as fuck, sitting there on her bed before she even enters. Like, he belongs there.
You know you want it, Allison.
Yeah, she does, though. But he's right. He's right.
I was so mad at her because, like, I get it up to Jaehaerys being killed. After that, like, you are the one that was not doing what you were supposed to be doing. Yeah, we were having a good time, but my grandson's dead. So, yeah I can't even look at you anymore. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of how I feel about it. Like I wouldn't be able to look at him anymore.
Well, she doesn't. It's not. She's. I really think when you see, like, I mean, we've seen her whole life on this show, right? She. That's why it's like almost not even fair, because Rhaenyra does get a chance to be herself and find herself, where Alicent never has that opportunity. And that's a tragedy that's inherent as well. And that's why it's hard, even though when I'm watching the show, like last season we talked about, and I mean, HBO plays it up, like choose a side, which I think in a sense, this show doesn't really ask you to do that. I think it just shows you both sides.
Well, they did in coming up to the season, they wanted us to choose.
No, that's
when
the marketing. That's what I'm talking. I mean, the marketing is one thing, but the way the show is not like that. I mean,
because
I can't.
Because even though they're blacks and greens, everything is shades of gray.
Oh, there you. Oh, Jenny, that's very poetry poetic. Right there. That is very. that sounds like a Taylor Swift song right there, Jenny. Is that from the Dead Poets Society or what's it called? Tortured.
That is Tortured Poets Society.
yeah, we end with old Cole, Coley Cole. But that's the thing, right? He was right. Like that's why, before the show started, we were discussing the scene, the bath scene when he's standing outside the door. And I was interpreting it as he was like, should I go in? Should I not go in? And you were interpreting a different way. With Allison sinking down into the bathtub, right? Like wanting to escape everything. But in this time, he's sitting right there on the bed. So I think from his perspective, I think that's what it was for his side. But it just shows they're not like, I don't think, you know, I wonder how chummy, I wonder if she's going to let go of the Seven thing and have scenes where they plot together, or at least like it would be nice to see her like enjoy it a little bit more, you know. I don't know.
You mean to see a nice like post session scene, like the way we had between Rhaenys and Corlys, and you know, and even Aemond and is his first lover. I don't know. I was just kind of laughing to myself because I don't recall. I'm like, so was he wearing the hand badge as he was sitting there in his shirt waiting for her?
It's like, look, mama.
That would have been really funny. Yeah.
The hand. He's like, tonight you don't get the tongue, you get the hand.
You get the hand. But he gave her the hand at the end.
He did. He gave her the hand. He did. Francine on the Facebook page says, what we're talking about. Another thought I had about the episode is we see lots of post-coitus scenes with couples that really reveal a lot of psychological trauma and need. And that's true. This show is, let me go off with some Facebook stuff since we've been talking a while. John Locke says the show continues to amaze. It felt like nothing happened and yet so much happened. Brilliant acting and writing. Francine, damn twins. I hate Sir Christian Cole. Such a dick. Or should I say, well used one. I don't think Sir Otto Hightower is innately evil. Grudging respect for Otto. I think he's a chess player and he cares for the realm. Well, you know, caring for the realm does not usually go well. Dragonstone is such a dark place. I hate that I love Daemon so much. Aegon has started to believe he is king. His grief is so sad. Helena holding on by a thread. Allison is incapable of comforting her son. Madame Sylvie's comforting Aemon. Oh, that's her name, Madame Sylvie. While Aegon weeps, grieves alone for his dead boy, and Allison sneaks away. I feel if Allison had comforted Aegon in this moment, the green team could have gotten the king on track again. Which is a good point, because Allison goes along with the whole fucking funeral bullshit, right? Procession. And she always seems to come around to these plots and schemes to show the public or do that, right? So it seems that even there would be a part of her that would be like, hey, I should comfort him because he's the king. I should get in his good grace. She can't even do that, you know? Justin. Hello, Justin. The emotional range showcased by the whole cast in this episode is amazing. The acting is really top notch in this series. That's so true. And Jeff, the twins battle was the highlight for me in this episode. They were both so committed to their honor and Link as twins that when the time came to either complete the mission or do what was right, we literally see the remaining twin fall in his sword. Epic stuff, folks. I also love the dialogue from Otto. As Gina said, he's so wise, such a good hand. Aegon's rage and the Queen of Hearts mentality binds him. He wants a bro in Christian before he wants to know the right political path. We are going to war, Gramps, and you can't stop us. I am sure this is not canon, but wouldn't it be amazing if a third Westeros faction started with Daemon? He and Rhaenyra are not on the same page anymore. That's interesting.
Well, there's potential for a third, and there's potential with a fourth with Rhaenys. I mean, yes. I think he's always been a bit of a wild card. Yep. So, I mean, and yeah, these guys are bloodthirsty. You know, they all want the throne or have at one time. But you know what I was thinking? I think it was when Jeff said, oh, he wants a bro in Christian. I'm like, you know, both Aegon and Kristen have like really good kenergy.
They
like
do.
Very, very Ryan Gosling energy.
Yeah, he's joining the CW ranks. They're going to go after the high school football team and find a magic spell underneath their 50s car or something like that. I don't know what you do in the CW. Kim says, a season one rewatch is even more layered after just the first two episodes of season two. So good. That's really true. Folks, if you love this show and you're really into it, go back and at least watch from 5 to 10 of last season when they're older, but watch it all because it's so much of it. They're doing a really great job of calling stuff back and continuing people's stories. So that's good stuff. Jenny, you thinking about anything? Our guest today?
No, I was just listening to all the good feedback.
Yeah.
I don't really, I think we've hit most of my thoughts, and yeah.
Oh,
it's been fun. I did rewatch the whole season one before this season started, and I was really glad I did.
Yep. So good. And you mentioned in your notes, I was seeing the dead rat catchers. We didn't talk too much about that's not a, that's another with the King's Landing getting restless. Like, that's not a good move. You know, Otto was right about that. That wasn't a good move.
Yeah. I mean, they just, he just undid everything that they did, tried to do, all the favor they tried to curry with the funeral procession. He's like, now I'm just going to kill every single rat catcher because I can't tell which one it is and can't be bothered to question them.
I am the king.
Yeah. And Aegon's over there like, I will return it 100. And Otto starts yelling at him about, you know, the, and he's like, but one, all these innocent men, but one guilty one.
Yes, this kid is really good. Man, he really is good. What's it? Wait a second. IMDb, stop fucking asking me for a rating. I'm trying to see this kid's name. Tom Glenn Carney. Yes. That's his name. What a good actor. Really turning it on this season and adding depth to this character. Like I said last week, I'm so glad that he's not Joffrey or so. You know what I mean? Like, it's good to see a different character there and a different kind of king, but still he is destroying the legacy of his father, which he's already done in the room by destroying his Lego. I mean, his his thing he built. I'd be so upset if somebody destroyed my Lego city like that, you know?
Right.
But you know what? That's like every time someone on the Facebook says, oh, look, I dropped my Lego thing. My comment always is, well, now you get a chance to put it back together. See? That's what you bought it for, right? You get to put it back together. Just like we'll put together the next episode of House of the Dragon. That was pretty good, wasn't it? The Dragon. Jenny, any final words?
Nope. It's been great being here. Other than that, I mean, I've appreciated being on. It was fun.
Yeah, this is great. Gina.
I'm just really looking forward to next week. I feel like this might be the most excited about this series I've been, like even after season one, which always like the time jumps were kind of jarring. But I think it's definitely on track. The train is on the tracks. It's going full speed ahead. We're in, you know, no more time jumps. I don't think are going to happen. And so the story can just kind of really play out.
Definitely. Oh, man, this show is so good. So much to appreciate, like the production and everything. It looks amazing. It sounds amazing. It's a real pleasure to talk about it. There's so much depth. Every time we start talking, there's so much to talk about, you know? There's so much going on. There's a lot of, listen to all those other great episodes, other podcasts like History of Westeros and Matt's podcast, Before the Dragon. I was sad. I was thinking, I wish a pod of Cass would come back. I miss hearing Roberto.
Yeah, and his voice. I do too.
That was good. But there's a lot of, oh, my friend Amy is going to be on next week from Little Miss Recap, and they're covering this on their Patreon, but she's going to join us next. Gina, you're going to get to meet her and we'll have a fun time talking about the show. I'd like to hear her perspective of it and how she sees things. And we've enjoyed having Jenny on. Remember, listen to Jenny and Gina talk about Bridgerton and many other things. We'll be hearing from Gina and Jenny and I went the whole podcast without doing it. I did it at the end of the podcast. But that's it, folks. Thanks for listening. DVRpodcast.com, patreon.com/DVR. Thanks for the reviews. Thanks for everything, downloading and listening. Peace out.